It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ever wonder what it takes to go from being an amateur to professional in sport? Welcome to An Athlete's Blueprint, the podcast that uncovers the secrets of champions, to let you know what it really takes to win a medal or break a record. Speaking to players and coaches, I capture insights from the training ground to the world stage, having the conversations normally kept behind closed doors. An Athlete's Blueprint is the podcast for sports enthusiasts starting out or those chasing the next podium. Get ready to rethink what you know about competing. Let's meet Ohio State ex-college athlete and the now CEO of Bonus Sports, Darius. In this episode, we cover what drives college sports in the US, how NIL contracts have created millionaire college athletes, what makes a successful college coach, battling career-ending injuries, and the rise of women's sports in the USA. Let's find out what's happening stateside.
So let's go straight into it. So, you know, what makes college sports so special in the US?
I think it's the fan base, man. I think college sports is really based on like the fan base and like, you know, alumni, people that actually experience that college. Like, I think that's where the dopest experiences come from college sports. Yeah, for sure.
And what are some of the biggest college sports in the US?
In the US, I can say biggest college sports, football for sure. Football for sure. Just because I think all Americans are just aggressive people, man. They just like seeing violence, man. Football, but basketball as well, man. Basketball is huge in college sports. I think other than that, man, like, I really can't say too much. I think soccer's big. Soccer is big, too, but not as big as basketball and football, though, you know?
Yeah. And when you say big, like, how many people are we saying, like, come to these events?
When I say big, man, tens of thousands show up to basketball and football games, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's pretty intense in the U.S., man. It's games that get sold out. I've been to a good amount of college football games, good amount of college basketball games, and the whole arena is just filled up. You can barely hear yourself talk unless you're, like, you know, tapping somebody.
Why is it so big, though? Like,
I think, like I just said, like, I think it's just the experience. Like, everybody is like a big college person, I think, in America. You know, that's the goal, to be a college student and go on to your career. So I think people have a lot of pride in the school that they went to, you know. So I think that has a lot to do with the fan base and why it's such a huge thing here in America, I think. Just the pride thing.
And when it comes to the money side of things, is there a lot of money in college sports?
I think college sports has elevated a big time with money, because now it's this NIL thing. Have you heard of the NIL?
No, tell me about that.
So the NIL is it's basically a way for college students to get paid for being themselves now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so before you even become a professional athlete now, you can get paid.
When we're saying paid, like, is it a good wage?
Yeah, like paid as in not even just like a scholarship or, you know, like a job. Like you can get paid for your likeness on who you are as an athlete. Like, for instance, LeBron James' son. Mm-hmm. He has an NIL deal with Nike. And
wow.
Yeah, so previously it was like it was against the college rules and even high school rules that you couldn't get paid, especially if you're in a school system or if you're getting an education. But now as an athlete, if you're a popular guy, you can get paid by that college or any sponsorships around that. Yeah. So there's money. There's money to answer your question. It's
yeah,
money.
Yeah. Okay. I can see why you draw such a big crowd then. You know, so are these guys that are playing in college sports for, you know, soccer, basketball, football, whichever, are they people that are looking to, you know, turn it into a profession?
Yeah. In America, I think everybody that gets a chance to be on like that high level college like stage, like you said, for football, soccer, or even basketball, everybody wants to be a professional. I think that's the biggest thing. I don't think a lot of people are playing these college sports as hobbies anymore. Everything is a professional thing. It's not just because you like it, but you almost want to take care of your family, you know? So, yeah, I think 90% of the players that play college sports want to be a professional. Maybe higher.
That's nuts. That's nuts. Yeah. So, like, how long do people play college sports for? Like, is it a few years? Or?
So, for the max, obviously, most schools are four-year institutions. So, mm-hmm. But you don't see a lot of athletes playing 4 years unless you play football. Because if you play football, you can't go professional until your third year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you have to spend 3 years in college for football to go to the NFL, to go to the National Football League. But in basketball, you can be a freshman. So you can go to the NBA after your first year of college.
And are there many sort of success stories of, you know, freshman college basketball players?
Yeah, we can go back to, I think, maybe like the 80s or the 90s where they had the Fab Five. There was a team in Michigan where they had five freshmen all starting, and a good amount of them went pro. I think, I don't know if all of them did, but I know some notable names are like Jalen Rose and Juwan Howard. They're both like big guys in the NBA or in the NBA in the past. But yeah, like that's a big success story where, you know, in Kentucky basketball, the Wildcats, they tend to play a lot of young guys that go play professional. So yeah, man, tons of success stories.
And yeah. when you're okay, so like when you're at these games, right, these college games, is it littered with sort of scouts everywhere? And are these broadcast as well?
Oh, definitely broadcast on ESPN, wow. TNT, all the sports sports networks on like the cable channels here in America. Yeah. And that's where the money comes from too, though. The broadcasting, like the networks, the sport networks, you can see a game in Ohio that's in California, you know? So it just has a lot of access to bring in money and stuff in college sports.
And then presumably, do you ever have it where some of the coaches, you know, that have come out of the NFL go down to coach like college teams? Does that ever happen? Yeah. Or vice versa? You know?
Yeah. So I think that's the difference between college athletes and college coaches. Because mm-hmm. a lot of coaches want to be professional coaches in the NFL, but there's a lot of them that want to just stay in the college level.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's some college coaches making more money than professional coaches. Yeah.
Is that because they're getting the top, they've hit the ceiling of the...
Yeah, they get the popular players, they get the top. So there's a coach from Alabama, which I think he retired this year. Alabama, mm-hmm. He was a really good coach. Nick Saban, he won a lot of championships. And they've been wanting him to be an NFL coach for years.
Yeah.
And he retired as a college football coach.
But did he help like the next generation come through and some of the famous names that are in the NFL today? Is he the one that coached? He coached them.
Yeah, he coached 50% of the best players in the NFL. So yeah.
He's definitely gonna be in the college NFL Hall of Fame. That's wild, though. I mean, it all makes sense now. I get it. And presumably, then, there's lots of sponsorship deals that are signed up to these young guys or women who play in these sports. You know, being around them and, you know, having friends and played in it yourself, how do people like deal with that pressure?
I think that's the cool thing about college sports, though. It's a lot of pressure. So I think if you go into playing any sport, you know that the pressure is on you. And I think that's the cool thing about it. Having friends play at the high, at a very high level, I got to experience, you know, what it's like to be a college athlete. You know, and these guys, man, they take on a pressure. Like, I had a friend that was really good. He was the star player at his college. And then I have another friend that sat the bench, you know, so I kind of got both perspectives, man. And with the pressure is always good, though. The pressure is always fun, I think.
Do you think, in your opinion, there's more pressure on college athletes when they're young than there is when they actually turn pro?
Yep. Absolutely.
The gap between not making it and making it is like that.
The older you get, the slimmer the chance of you making it, you know?
Yeah.
everything's like a young man's sport, a young woman's sport, you know, like the younger you are, I guess the more active you are, the more skilled you are. I think that's with anything, though, not even just with sports, even in the work field, you know, they want the youngest person.
I think that's fair. And, you know, it's the way that everything in the world, isn't it? it's just normal. It's normal behavior. So
yeah.
What I think would be cool is if you can talk to me about, like, and we've touched on it a few times in this conversation already, but, you know, when you're actually at a college, what's the atmosphere like when you buy your ticket, you go and you sit down? Like, what is that like?
Oh, so I can break it down. I can break it down to you because I just actually was at a college game not too long ago. So I went to go see Michigan Wolverines versus the Rutgers out of New Jersey. It was in Michigan. So first, man, you get your ticket. You see everybody with the same color on. You know, it's just like the school pride. And actually, the school that I was just at, they're yellow and blue. So you see nothing but yellow and blue people. You got the kids. Yeah, you just see nothing but yellow and blue. You got kids with the jerseys that are too big. You got them running around with their family. And then so once you enter, you got the security. You just have nothing but noise. Nothing but noise. You hear clapping, you hear horns, real intense environment, especially start off with the warm up. You know, you got the big Jumbotron showing pictures. Yeah. Of the crowd. You got cameras everywhere. It's almost a professional thing just in a college setting.
Sounds as real as you can possibly get.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that's where a lot of the pressure comes, though, because if you can take that college pressure, I think becoming a pro isn't as hard.
No,
I don't think it's that hard because they prepare you for the loud noise, the celebrities that may be at the games, or the women, the cheerleaders. You know, it's almost the same as professional, just in a more intimate environment.
I got you. And, you know, be it, as you said before, it's a young man's sport. How do people deal with being almost sort of influencers, or, you know, being in the social media public eye, if you like?
I think that's taken a huge like swing on all the athletes nowadays, because especially the college ones. Because I know you asked me earlier, how many expect to go pro?
Yeah,
all of them want to, but I think nowadays people are realizing that you don't have to. Because going professional then, that was like a dream come true. You wanted to change your family's lives. But now that money is getting involved as being a college athlete, it's almost like, do I even need to go pro? I've already made $1 million in high school.
They can make $1 million
in college. Yeah, in high school and college. Like, now you're able to do that.
Wow. And that's because of the contract.
The NIL, yeah.
The NIL, yeah. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
So they could leave college as a millionaire with a huge audience, you know, obviously a huge social media following. Do brand deals, and they don't even need to be brand.
Nope.
That's wild.
Yeah, and that's why I think like, you know, the professional thing is still there, but it's almost like, what for? What for? Yeah. If I can make this money here, I got all the followers I need. The only thing I'm going to build an NBA is maybe more money and more followers. But I did all of this without even getting there, you know?
But I suppose the good thing is then you separate the people who have the real desire to do it, like the purists, like the elite professionals with just the average ones. Because the average ones will just drop. They'll just drop up. They'll fade away, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll just be more commercially minded, shall we say, and take advantage of the moment so that they can max out before someone else takes their place.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we're young now, we're doing it now, and they're offering, we got it, we should take it. You know, it's not a lot of deals being left on the table these days.
100%. Yeah. And you know, being in that environment and your friends and yourself and stuff, have you found that the ones that, you know, suffer career-ending injuries,
how do they
operate and make sure that they still, you know, remain?
So I think it kind of turns into a flip thing, like a vice versa thing, because, you know, those guys that get the opportunity to play and they're stars, they get the opportunity to gain that likeness and they get to gain those followings and stuff like that. So when you have an injury and you weren't, you know, the guy, you almost are trying to look for a way to keep your name relevant during that injury. So I had a friend that was a really good quarterback, And he ended up tearing his ACL.
Yep.
But in the midst of him being a really good quarterback, he had a lot of opportunities to meet people, get in touch with like pro athletes and companies that wanted to endorse him at the time. So luckily for him, he was able to get a job with social media and also being a spokesperson for college football. But it's a challenge once, if you don't have the personality or if you don't have the resources to do anything else other than obtain your degree, it's kind of bad for you, man, if you get hurt.
So really what you're saying is you almost need to play, you need to be like an actor, you know, you got to play a role while you're in this. You have to be flamboyant, you have to be direct, aggressive, and be raw so that you walk away, even if nothing else works out, you walk away with your reputation, and that should carry you through to the money, right?
Absolutely. That's it. And in a weird way, man, it kind of sucks, but it doesn't. But like everything is almost entertainment. It's entertainment. Mm. You have to entertain in a way, like, yes, it's about character. Yes, it's about, you know, gaining exposure and stuff like that, man. But if you're not doing it on the field, you better be doing it off the field, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that. I think it's crazy because in this country, in Britain, it's not really taken that seriously. We don't really fund these things. And, you know, the best you could pretty much hope for is like a live stream on Facebook.
Right.
It's just not, there's just not enough money or desire to make it into something serious. So that's why I suppose, in the UK, pro sport, be it football or tennis or whatever it is, you know, it's, I feel like the margin is a lot thinner, you know, pros.
Yeah.
But it's good that in the US, you know, as you're saying, you can literally become a millionaire without even playing pro. I just can't get over it. It's wild.
It's serious, though. I'm telling you, that's why it seems everyone wants to do it, because it seems easy, right? It's like you're one post away from $1 million, you know, or an opportunity to get there.
Yeah. So in your experience then, and the people you know, the people you've helped and things like that, those guys who have got the big deals, have they changed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's almost... Yeah, it's almost some have changed for the worse, some have, but majority of them have changed for the better, you know, but changed for the better. I've seen a guy turn into having nothing to a millionaire, you know. I've seen that happen in my eyes as a friend and a fan as well. So like, some of it is beneficial, but yeah, a lot of them have a lot of them are buttholes for sure.
I suppose it's natural though, isn't it? Like, money changes everything.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure you grease someone's palm, they're going to change their behavior.
Yeah.
100%. So, you know, what's been some of like your most memorable moments whilst being in and around college sports?
I got a couple. So, my most memorable moment is it's one with really one of my really good friends, and this is the guy I was specifically speaking about. He was really good at basketball, really good at basketball. When he transferred over to Michigan University, University of Michigan, he went to the Final Four. He went to the national championship, which is the biggest thing in college basketball. And I got a chance to experience that with him and just see all the glitz and glam and all that stuff and what comes with it. So I think that's one of the hugest, coolest experiences that I've been around for just college sports for sure.
What was like the pregame ritual like on that day?
Pre-game ritual. So me.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Me and him couldn't speak as much. Me and him, because obviously I'm not on the team. But with the pregame ritual for him and the way I saw it from the outside, is it was like a regular day. Almost a regular day. You had to keep yourself calm, knowing that this day could change your life forever, you know? So I could tell he was kind of jittery a little bit. Everybody's nervous, but it was like once the game started, you couldn't take it back. You had to do what you had to do, you know? They end up losing. But it was a great experience. Because he got a chance to play against Jalen Brunson, which is an NBA point guard right now for New York Knicks. Yeah, wow. He's an all-star this year.
That's nuts. So
it's the experience, man, playing against these guys and seeing them before they go to the next level.
And these, I'm just so blown away. And these sort of coaches and things like that, is it cutthroat? You know, because in professional, right, as you know, if they don't win, you know, you can get rid of your coach like that. But in college, is it just as cutthroat?
In college, I believe it's as cutthroat, but it's not as publicized as professional sports. So the community, the surroundings, the college, the fans, the alumni, they know when it's the coach's last year. They know they know before the season is over, just because like maybe a losing season or, you know, some bad attitudes, just things that it's definitely cutthroat, but it's just not as publicized.
I like that. Yeah. They're like, they show you the back door, and it's like,
they're going to have a meeting right after. Yeah, come on, let's go. Let's talk about it.
And, you know, outside of college sports, then, you know, who are some of your sporting heroes?
I have to say LeBron James. For sure. Are you familiar? You're familiar with LeBron James,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can't say basketball without LeBron.
Without saying LeBron James, exactly. So it's super cool because LeBron James is from the same state as me. So that's what makes it cool. Because, I mean, everybody can say LeBron James, right? But
yeah, of course.
But with him being from the same state that I was born in, it kind of gives you that feel of like, wow, this person lived that close to me and he's everything. You can't mention basketball without him, you know? So like, yeah, that's a hero for sure, just because he came from a place that I feel like I came from, and he was able to showcase the world who he is, you know. It's a motivation.
And, you know, just judging by your state, is there murals of LeBron everywhere? And, you know, how is he received? Does he ever come back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but, sorry. Oh, murals everywhere, man. Pictures everywhere. He has a school in Cleveland from the city he's actually from. So he started his own elementary school. Yeah, so.
Right. So these kids, they're going to graduate from LeBron school.
Yep. Yeah,
that's amazing. That is amazing. And I think sometimes it's nice to see athletes give back to the community. And
absolutely, you
know, building things like schools or hospitals or whatever is always the best thing to do to give back, because
it is.
You know, the school helped him in some way. You know what I mean?
Mainly. So,
yeah, I think what would be really interesting is just to talk about Bonus and kind of your role at Bonus and what Bonus Sport is.
Bonus Sport. So I'm the creator. I'm the guy that created the whole thing. Basically, I'm a middleman between college athletes and high school athletes. So my goal is, to help guys in high school reach a level that they deserve. You know, it doesn't have to be the biggest schools, the smallest schools. It can be anywhere in the middle. So for Bonus Sports, man, we give them an opportunity to be seen, because I'm a full-time videographer as well when it comes to Bonus Sports. So I capture highlights of the best guys. I put it together in a huge bit, a nice video, and I'll either send it out or post it onto my platform, I have NBA guys, I have NFL guys, I have some of the top coaches around America viewing my platform. So if you get a chance to be on there, you may get a chance to be seen, you know. So and also I throw events as well. They aren't as big as the page, but the events are kind of similar to just like games. Instead of it just being a school against a school, it's everyone from everywhere just competing with each other, you know, just to have that feel of what it would be like going into the next level.
Where did you learn that skill of managing people?
I think it was just a God-given thing, man. Because when I was in high school, I wasn't the best player. But my friends were. So me having friends that already had like a bigger spotlight than me on the athletic side, it was almost like, all right, I know what it's like to see that. So since my friends that made it to that level can't come back and give back right away, it's my job to be like, yo, I've seen what it takes to do this. And I've seen it firsthand, and I've seen it multiple times too. You know, I've seen it multiple times. So I think that gives people the comfort in trusting me to help them get there, because they know that I've seen it.
So as a leader then, in that scenario, what's the best way to create a culture where people thrive?
I think just giving them something to believe in. Giving them something to believe in, giving them something to have pride about, man. I think you thrive once you know that there's something achievable. You know, I think everybody goes after something that they think either it's very impossible or something that they can do, you know? I don't think it's any middle. I think the middle is the where you settle, you know, you settle. But there's a place in the mind where like, I can do this if I can put my mind to it. Or it's like, that's very, very capable of doing, you know? So I think that's where you can build culture, and that's where you can get people to believe.
And what do you do when some of the players, you know, they feel disillusioned or they're not believing in the culture anymore, they're questioning things? How have you kind of kept them on side?
I think you just give them an example, man. I think it's, the goal is to, you also in a space of being a leader or someone that's, you know, trying to help someone, you got to give them an example. You got to show them that it's real. You got to show them that it's happened. You got to show them that it could be them, you know? So if anybody is discouraged or feels like they're not able to excel in this space, the goal is just to show them, man. Show them that it's possible and show them how close they are to achieve.
And do you do that through just showing tapes or showing kind of bringing up stats from like previous games and stuff?
Yeah, so I do more of the helpful things behind the scenes. So I'll give a call to you. I'll shoot a text. I'll give you some motivation before a game or an after a game or even, you know, on your dead time. I'm the guy that's speaking to someone when all the lights aren't around. I like to speak when it's, you know, you're in a vulnerable space, you know?
I hear that. And what do you, aside from, you know, getting them to where they need to be, how do you, is there anything that you tend to say to them to tap into them emotionally?
I can't say there's something that I specifically say because every athlete is different. Every person that I've dealt with, they all have maybe if there is any issues at all, they all have a different struggle. You know, everybody isn't struggling on the same thing. Some athletes are focused. They struggle with confidence, but they're very skilled.
Yeah.
Some athletes are very confident, but they aren't that skilled. So sometimes it's a lack of the inside things that you just got to let them, you know, like I said previously. I mean, you got to let them know that they're capable.
I hear that and I respect that. And I think that's a really good thing because you're inspiring young people.
Yeah.
And you're giving them belief when they need it. Because, you know, sports is devastating. I remember when I played and, you know, it was only messing around really in comparison to what you've been around. But it hurt. If I didn't get picked for the team, it hurt, you know?
See, I've been cut. I've been cut from a team. I've been a guy that was maybe the last person to get picked, if not picked at all. So yeah, it did hurt for sure.
And how did you like deal with that privately?
Privately, I mean, I cried my eyes out. You know, cried. Found out a way. Like, what can I do? I always used to question myself. Like, what am I missing? What can I do more of? You know, and what I realize now is that sports is a huge thing in America, man. That is the way out, you know, for a lot of people. If you're not super smart or intelligent and not becoming a doctor or a lawyer or all that stuff, like that is the option right there. That is the percent of that you could possibly feel for your family. So when you don't get picked in those quiet times at home, man, you cry, you figure out what you need to do for the next time so you could be that guy. So that's what I did for sure.
Thank you for sharing. No, I can completely relate. And it's just the way of sport really, isn't it? It's just the way, like it's the highs and the lows and it's what makes it so emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
I have an interesting question for you just because of being around track and field and stuff.
Yeah.
So, sorry. So do you find that there's people who want to be like Olympic stars and then there's people that want to be, you know, like pro Olympic athletes and then pro like commercial athletes, if you want to call it that. Do you find there's a difference in mindset?
So commercial and Olympic, yeah. Yeah, I do. It's similar to kind of what we were speaking about with the college and the pro level type of thing is that when you're a commercial guy, I think all in all, it comes down to your likeness and who you are, your market, the way you market yourself, the advertisement and all that good stuff. And when you're actually one of those athletes that wants to be an Olympic star, I think most of the time the glitz and glamour chases you. You know, with those commercial people, I think they do what they need to do to get in that space. I think those superstar athletes, they let it chase them in a way, you know?
Yeah, because I suppose they're doing it. They're purists, aren't they?
Yeah, like purists.
They're doing it because they're not in. Well, of course, they want to make money and they're interested in making it their job. But really, if your heart's set on going to the Olympics, it's a different mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is huge.
And you know, being around track and field and things like that, what's the percentage of people that make it in track and field versus people that don't? Is it slimmer or?
Now, for track and field, very slim. Very, very slim because, in all honesty, track and field guys, they get scholarships, right? They get scholarships. They get money to go to colleges and stuff like that. But it isn't, it isn't at the highest payment of a basketball or a football. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't the Olympic sports, like when you speak about track and field and stuff like that, here it isn't as popular. It isn't as popular, so you're not really getting the opportunities to become a pro athlete in it. And that's why a lot of Americans and a lot of college athletes that do go on to run track and do the Olympic sports type of things, they end up stopping after college.
Oh, wow. So is it because there's no, is it NIL? That is it, does that not apply in Olympics?
And that's I don't want to lie to you. I don't think the NIL applies to track. No, I don't think so.
That's fascinating because surely, yeah, you know, Nike are looking at these guys and, you know, they wear literally just a t-shirt and shorts. So then,
yeah, that's it.
Know, their whole body could literally be, you know, kitted out, and the trainers are so important, and the cleats and everything like that. So it's, that's pretty nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Now that you bring it to life, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just such a, like, the audience that goes and watches, you know, up-and-coming Olympic stars, they're so passionate.
Oh, the most passionate. Yeah. The most. I think there's a difference in between wanting to be just an American athlete or someone, you know, playing in within US rather than wanting to be an Olympic athlete. You know, because I mean, it seems like people are striving to be a really good athlete just in the United States, not worldwide. But Olympic guys, the guys that run track, that do the Olympic sports, like even with soccer and stuff, they want to be worldwide global athletes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think they see sport as like a way of life.
Exactly.
Where some of the other guys probably just think, well, I can get 5 to 10 years out of this and I'll be set for life. And then they just kind of chill out and just hang out on TV shows and podcasts.
Yeah, that's it, though. And it's so many people like that.
Yeah. Whereas Olympians, they tend to become coaches, write books. They almost become quite invested in sports psychology, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. You're absolutely right with that one.
And do you think there's a difference in mindset and preparation between an Olympic star and, you know, like a commercial athlete?
Yes, absolutely. I think Olympic stars are way more passionate because it's almost like there's no ceiling, you know, it's nowhere that caps your ceiling. Like with the commercial and just American star, it's almost like you got a limit. There's a limit that you can reach and you're not going any higher than that. You know, Olympics, yeah. you can almost do anything. There's a space for you to find a different team. I think there's a way for you. It's the pride as well, too. You're representing a country. Yeah. You know, you're representing a country instead of just your hometown, your little city, and you're just competing. Now, Olympic athletes definitely have a more passionate feeling to them, for sure.
And this is a good kind of like follow up. So, you know, the US always do incredibly well in the Olympics.
Yeah.
How serious is it taken back home?
I think it's a big thing, man. But me as being a African American here in America, it's like everything is divided in a way, you know? Everything is divided. No matter, even though US does really well, US doesn't have strong pride in their country as other countries. You can, and that's from my opinion. I'll give you my opinion. Like, you know, the Olympics will go on, but it's not super big. It's not, hey, are you watching the Olympics? Are you keeping up here? Are you keeping up there? Like, you find your you find your thing and you just stick with it. Nobody's going out their way to, you know, watch the Olympics. Now, they'll watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll
yeah.
watch the NBA championship. Like, they'll watch the World Series for baseball.
Yeah.
But the Olympics isn't as publicized, I guess, or it isn't as taken serious as much as me. That's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if one of your guys that you help out said to you, hey, man, I'm more interested in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Do you think that they would be not cut from the group, but do you think there'd be a divide?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because here in America, here just with things, it's like you kind of got to blend in. You got to do what everyone else is doing. Like, and if you try to be the odd guy out, you'll be left alone and you won't have many people, man.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I get that. And so, okay, in terms of your favorite track and field sports, what's your go-to?
So out of all the sports, what's my favorite?
Yeah.
Okay, so basketball is first.
Mm-hmm.
But then I go into track and field. I was a sprinter. So I love watching the 100 meters, 200 meters, the relays, the 400. Like, that was my thing. And I love swimming as well. And then I'll throw football in there. But I wish I would have played soccer for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few Americans like making it in the Premier League and the Championship. And,
yeah, they're trying.
And even like, you know, you got Pulisic at AC Milan and things like that. And
yeah
it's good. And obviously you've got Florin Balogun. Yeah, so yeah, there's lots of US athletes in various sports cutting it at top level. Mm-hmm. Similar, like even in like F1 and things like that. I don't know if you are into motorsport, but you know, there's a lot of US guys kind of cutting into that as well. And
I want to get more into it. I want to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. You have to have a lot of patience.
You could
be in for.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like, you're 50 laps in, and then the driver that you want can have a puncture or the engine failure. Yeah. Or they just crash, like human error. Right. And you've just spent like 2.5 hours watching, so you know, you have to have a lot of patience. And I was just going to say, so when it comes to women's sport and things like that in the US, how serious is it taken?
Honestly, in the last few years, I can say the last half decade, maybe like the last 5 years, women's sports has risen very high, especially when it comes to the Olympic sports as well. So like tennis, gymnastics, WNBA, women's NBA basketball, is super popular. They're getting a lot more endorsements coming from these big companies. They're getting bigger arenas. Fans are actually, you know, selling out the small arenas that they're in. So, man, it's getting bigger each year, I think.
And are women eligible for the NIL as well?
Yes. I believe so. Yes, they are. They are, for sure.
That's exciting, then. That's exciting because, if the quality is just as good as the men's, then it should be pushed, right?
Oh no, the quality is very, very similar. Honestly, to me, women play better basketball. Women play sports better than men. They just aren't super aggressive. They play sports the right way. You know, yeah. Men, we always try to make it our own way. Women play it the right way,
man. They just have a better technique.
Yeah, technique. That's it. They have so much better technique than men.
No, cool, man. Look, I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I think it's just been, I think the thing that I'm going to walk away with, if I'm honest, is the fact that you've got college athletes becoming millionaires.
Yeah.
Like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
Because before NIL contracts, I guess the hunger would waver a little bit.
And I think, and not to go on another ramble a little bit, but like, I think that's what's taken away the passion.
Mm.
That's taken away the passion with high school athletes and even college athletes. Like, they're not really outside, you know, running laps, doing tons of drills to make themselves better, because they're like, all right, if this doesn't work, I have enough followers to get some money, you know?
So, man,
the passion nowadays have definitely shrank because of that reason.
And one more thing, actually, just before we go, the diet and nutrition, what is it like, you know, what does it look like to some of these guys? Do they take it seriously?
So college athletes, specifically, they're on a strict diet. You have meals at the early practices, you have meals after your afternoon practice, and majority of time for most college athletes, you're having dinner together. So it's pasta, a lot of nutrition, a lot of granola, like a lot of good things, man. They're getting their vitamins, electrolytes. They're doing really well there. Yeah.
So it's literally treated like a camp. Like, they're focused, and they're in their state university or college,
yeah.
And they live there, they sleep there. You know, that is life for 4 years.
No, that's it. You're absolutely right. It's just a camp. They're all in a military form, but thing. It literally is. Yeah, they're representing their team. That's it.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for your time. Like,
no problem, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of An Athlete's Blueprint. The authentic stories shared in this podcast aren't for everybody. They were just for you, a true sports enthusiast. Whether you're going into your next practice session or at the starting line for the finals, take the winner's insight from the athletes and the coaches you heard from today. Remember, this advice is only available on An Athlete's Blueprint podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.